time for the Merrimack Valley Sports Desk on MSO New Sports, bringing you the latest in high school sports news from the Merrimack Valley in southern New Hampshire. The Sports Desk is produced by Kelly Media and brought to you by the Cape Ann Savings Bank and Moynihan Lumber. And now your host, Dom Nicastro.
Merrimack Valley Sports Desk, Dom Nicastro. How's it going, everybody? We are here every week, msonewsports.com. And we're going to get right to it. So we have Tewksbury football coach Brian Aylward on the line. Just a great long interview. So many nuggets to take from. We will caution that interview was done on Tuesday night of this week. So a few nights before his semifinal game against Canton in Division Four. So we know the results as of now. In fact, I'm recording this on Tuesday night as well. But what's going to happen is after the Brian interview that comes up after this break, we're going to tell you how they did against Canton because we held off the show for a few days so we can get in those semifinal results. So we will talk to Coach Aylward after the break, and then we will break down what happened in his game after we talk to him. So stay tuned.
At Moynihan Lumber, we know that professional builders and remodelers choose Anderson Windows more than any other brand in the United States. They do it because Anderson Windows and Patio Doors offer beautiful natural wood interiors, low-maintenance exteriors, and outstanding energy efficiency. See the complete line of Anderson Windows at any of our three locations in Beverly, North Reading, or Plaistow, New Hampshire, or at MoynihanLumber.com.
Moynihan Lumber, we measure up.
Hello, this is Brian Cranny from Cranny Self Storage. If you find yourself in the middle of a move, downsizing, decluttering, getting your garage space back, Cranny Self Storage is here to help. We have climate-controlled and secure storage units of all sizes to fit your budget. Whether it's temporary or permanent, Cranny Self Storage can help you with all your storage needs. We also have moving supplies and boxes. Cranny Self Storage is conveniently located in Danvers, right off of 128 on Water Street, next to Sam and Joe's. Let us help you keep your belongings safe and secure. Call Cranny Self Storage today at 978-777-9193.
All the appetizers to get your taste buds going, like sliders, quesadillas, wraps, and burgers. Specialties like tropical grilled salmon, fajitas, turkey tips, steaks, ribs, pasta, seafood, kids' meals. And did we mention 42 beers on tap and 20 TVs for all the games? There's going out, and then there's Sylvan Street Grill, the best place to go on the North Shore in Peabody and Salisbury.
Eat, drink, and chill at the Sylvan Street Grill.
Merrimack Valley Sports Desk, Dom Nicastro here with our one and only guest of the day, Tewksbury football coach Brian Aylward. What's going on, coach?
Not too much, coach. I appreciate you having me on.
Yeah, 100%. Good to be back with you on the sports desk here. And my goodness, what a time for the Redmen. Tewksbury taking on Canton in the semifinals of Division Four. That game is at Manning Field in Lynn, 6 o'clock. Tewksbury Canton matchup. So got to start there. What have you seen out of the Bulldogs, the Green Bulldogs?
Well, they've been tough. You know, we had an actual last second game against them 2 years ago. They had a handful of kids that were sophomores that year that contributed, and now obviously they're a big part of what they do now. They're tough. They're very similar to that team that we played. They're physical up front. They run the ball hard. They have a couple of quarterbacks that they've used throughout the year, and one of them get banged up, and unfortunately in the first round, the playoff game, but then, you know, the other kid came in and did a tremendous job. So they, you know, it's almost like they didn't miss a beat with that. And so that's credit to them, type of program that they are, that they're able to do that, you know, taking on an injury like that. So they're tough. There's not a lot of weak spots to exploit, so we're gonna have to play our best.
Yeah, they to get here, they beat Wakefield 35-22, and then coming off a 27-22 win over Marblehead in the Elite Eight. That's no easy feat beating, you know, the Headers, the Magicians, whatever they call themselves, Coach Redloff's team. You know all about them.
Yeah.
That's a good win, too. That's a hard-fought win over Marblehead.
Yeah, they're impressive. And, you know, like they just sound on both sides of the ball. You know, like they didn't do anything really that crazy, but they keep you off balance. They're able to run the ball, throw the ball. Defensively, they don't give you the same looks to the same formations all the time. They're really multiple on both sides. So, and they executed, you know, they made big plays when they needed to. They went down early, and fought their way back. So, it's another piece about them. You know, you get a chance to go back and kind of look at some of the games earlier in the year. They play a tough schedule. Like, you know, like we've played some really good teams this year. I thought the MVC was as strong as it's been in recent years, top to bottom. So we've had some dogfights, but these guys have had some dogfights that they had to fight their way back into and get victories in most of them. Weren't able to come all the way back against North Attleboro, who's obviously returning state champ, Division III, and they're in the semis. You know, Foxborough, who is, you know, in the Division V semis.
Right.
But that Hawkmoc League is tough. You know, like they had a big win against Mansfield. So they play a tough schedule. They play good teams every week, and you know, they're not fazed if they go down. They're going to keep playing.
Yeah.
So got a lot of respect for the program and what they've done.
Yeah. Is there one area, whether it's offense or defense or both, that's going to particularly, you know, have, like, say, its biggest challenge of the year, or going to have a significant challenge more so than other games on your side facing Canton?
Yeah, I mean, that's a great question. But, like, I think, you know, I feel like each week we have some mismatches that, like, are physical in nature that we have to deal with. Just, you know, our guys, you know, we have some guys that are undersized. They're going to be outmatched physically every week. But they all, the good thing is that they all play bigger than their stature, you know what I mean? And that's been a blessing for us, the kind of kids that we have. You know, I would say that, you know, we've faced some really good offensive and defensive fronts, offensive lines. This particular team is solid across the board. You know, usually there's one kid that maybe is not quite up to par with the other kids. They're not, you know, they're, you know, it's like five of the same kid right across the board. And then they bring in, you know, they don't really run any tight end sets, but when they do bring like an extra kid off that wing or like as an H-back, that kid's a stud. So, you know, that's a tough challenge for those guys up front. And, you know, we're going to have to be on point all the way across the board.
Yeah, which you have been all season, Coach. Looking at the results, I mean, you know, the closest one was a 4-point win over Lowell, and who had an incredible season under Coach Boyle. You know, they really made that Merrimack Valley Conference one of the tops as far as, you know, challenges night after night in the state. Had to have been a lot of playoff teams, Division One, all the divisions.
Yeah.
But let's recap the MVC and what you've seen out of that conference this year. You mentioned it was one of the best, most competitive in recent years. And I got to say, Lowell is probably a huge reason why.
Yeah, I mean, I think that, you know, they've had, you know, they're a big school. They you know, they have, you know, always, you know, seem to have some kids that are really, really good at a bunch of different positions. And, you know, I think that this team played, I think they utilized their kids the right way. And, yeah, they had mismatches all over the place. That game for us was probably one of the worst games that we played. And it was kind of the only, really like the last time that our quarterback had forced a couple balls. And, you know, we had a couple of uncharacteristic turnovers. We had three turnovers that game. And that's been something that we've been able to avoid. We've been able to avoid it since then. But we were able to get the big turnover at the end to give us an opportunity to get on and score and win. And that's what we did. But they were very good. And, you know, Methuen's very good. Andover, I thought, was very good. You know, I thought Chelmsford was very good, you know, so like this, you know, of those games and, you know, Berica, I thought we made some major adjustments to, you know, how to try to handle that type of toe-to-toe offense. So I think our defense just really put us in a position to give us extra chances in a game against a team that you're unlikely to get extra chances if you might not get enough chances. You know, things have gone well that way, but you know, like it's been a, you know, the scores are not indicative of how difficult the task was week to week. You know, we've been fortunate to stay healthy. So we're not replacing a lot of guys. We play a lot of guys. And I think that that's been key for us to remain healthy. And, you know, we're just kind of trying to be prepared that if we do take on an injury somewhere, that we can at least have another package of stuff that we can run with somebody else that's ready. So, so the league and overall, I thought was great. And so it's always a challenge for us, I think, you know, so.
Yeah, 100%. Certainly prepares you for the next level for sure. These two games, outscoring opponents 83-14. Good start. Obviously, Middleborough win, Ashland win, and now on to Canton. What do you like about these two games and what the kids have shown you and any areas to tighten up?
Yeah, I mean, I think that, you know, I think the matchup with Middleborough might have been a result of, you know, their league schedule maybe a little bit different than certainly what ours is. And I thought our kids had a lot of confidence going in that way. In terms of the Ashland team, they were dangerous, and they've played a lot of good teams and beat a lot of good teams. They're very well coached. They run that like a combination of that real tight split double wing. We were real fortunate right out of the gate to get up on them, even though they took the ball. We had a turnover on the opening kickoff and went forward, which is like a devastating start to a game for any team. But you still got to take advantage of that. You know what I mean? Like, and that's what our kids did. We were able to benefit from our experience with Berica's offense in terms of putting together a plan. It wasn't totally new. What we're asking our kids to do. And we kind of piece that plan together in pieces. And it was kind of a weird practice week, you know. Defensively, it was almost like you had three different groups practicing defense at the same time, but we never really brought it together totally. Otherwise you're going to kill your kids. You know, it's like a meat grinder. So like, it's hard to get a group of young kids to go in, certainly to mimic the size and the strength and speed. But then to also do that kind of grind it out type of offense. So that's the biggest challenge when you play teams like that, is being able to, you know, replicate what they do. And we didn't, I thought our coaches did a great job in kind of working together and putting that together.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah. And speaking of those coaches, when you guys got together and watched the game films of the first opening games of the postseason, who impressed you out there? Like, you know, who were those kids that would be like, wow, man, he's really stepping it up and has been all season?
Yeah. I mean, I think that's the biggest thing is, you know, like, you know, we're awful at stats. I'm lovely at them. I've been a little bit better this year, and it's been more just kind of we kind of confirm what we're doing offensively, that we're not so heavy handed with one or two kids. And I think the stats show that, you know, we get probably 2,500 yards rushing, and usually you can have one guy that's going to have half of that. And then maybe two guys that maybe, but we're balanced. We get like five kids that all, you know, five different kids that are over 300 yards rushing. And then, you know, Emeka Alou is up there probably 700 something. But, you know, he is kind of a workhorse type back that just the way that our games have gone, you know, he tops out at like 11 or 12 carries a game, if that, you know. So just naturally kind of going through, you know, down and distance and, you know, hash mark and the feel of things, the ball goes to different guys, and they're all hungry to get the ball in their hands, but none of them are selfish. So like, and that's the biggest piece is like, sometimes you'll get kids that are in that situation saying, hey man, I can tote the rock 25 times and, you know, really put up some big numbers, but we know that we're better when we divide and conquer, and everybody does their job and they're willing to block, they're willing to run routes hard, even if they're not the primary. They're just a great group of kids. Yeah. So, I mean, we've had some special standout kids, you know what I mean? I think Johnny Sullivan, what he's done on both sides of the ball, is unmatched. You know, I mean, he's got over 750 yards receiving. He's got like 38 receptions. And like seven touchdowns, and he just always seems to be like the big play when we looked at like we're sputtering, you know. And then flip on defense, you know, he's one of our leading tacklers. He has eight interceptions. You know, you put those two things together, I don't know anybody's had a two-way year like he has had, and that doesn't even include the stats that nobody counts but us. Is the blocks that he's made, you know, the downfield blocking instead of his play, it really isn't for me. And he's made some critical blocks for us to have some good chunk plays turn into big touchdown plays. And that's why we've been able to score the way that we have. Benny Christopher is another kid that, you know, he's not one of the leading rushers in the state. He's not one of the leading receivers in the state. But when you add the two, he's up there with anybody, you know. I mean, he's close to 1,000 yards total offense in terms of, you know, receiving yards and rushing yards. Yeah. And that's a problem for teams. You know, I mean, I think they have to address that and kind of know where he is. And then, you know, Emeka Alou is you know, just been tremendous. You know, he's a tough guy to tackle. He runs hard. And like I said, I think in other years, he'd probably have at least double the carries that he's had. So for him to put up the numbers and you know, it's not even so much putting up the numbers. It's about getting first downs. So if you get five carries on third and two and you get first down every time, that's not going to add up to anything big, but it's going to add wins. You know, so like that's, I think all these guys really understand the game. And understand the situation, which is like, that's a totally different thing. That's a totally different level of a high school kid understanding the game. I mean, everybody can talk football IQ and whatever that means. But it's like a savvy piece of really understanding what needs to happen on this particular play and how I can make that happen from the role that I've been asked to do. So these guys are just a really good group.
Yeah, you say group. I mean, this, you know, the whole body of work, the last three seasons, we'd be remiss not to bring that up. I mean, this is the third straight semifinal appearance, and you're looking to get over that hump. The last two have been losses to Duxbury, right?
Yeah.
And, I mean, but these kids, you know, they're over 25 wins. They're three-time semifinal appearances in a row. Just that success has transferred year after year. You know, when they were sophomores, say 2 years ago, these seniors, is that a pretty good group in terms of staying together? Like those sophomores are all part of that semifinal run?
Yeah, I mean, I think all of them that are producing for us, or, you know, at the least, you know, a major part of like special teams and those kind of roles, all the way up to like, you know, I think Sully was our leading receiver as a sophomore. He tore his ACL in the game against Duxbury early on, missed out on his whole sophomore year of basketball. He's our best basketball player. And fought his way back, and, you know, Bailey got cleared right before the season last year. So he wasn't at full strength and full speed that he is at now. And I think it's just been the way it's gone. But you take Emeka Alou, Johnny Sullivan, Benny Christopher. Those guys have always been a big part of what we do. But then, like, Victor Muyanja is like a two-way starting lineman for us. He was a big part of what we've done like the last 2 years. So even as a sophomore, he was thrust in there. Brady Schofield, he played for us throughout last year as a starter at the other tackle on offense. Jake Burns, tight end. You know, it's like he would be the first guy I'd be talking about in most years. That's how good a player he is, but he starts at tight end and defensive end for us.
Yeah.
He has the last 3 years, and it's just the role that he's in. Those numbers aren't going to knock you out, but he's such a critical part of what we do. But just that's kind of the balance of what we're talking about. And then, you know, it depends on, you know, the program and everything else like that. I mean, like, we try to, you always try to, you know, all the kids are a part of it, you know, and if their role happens to be that they're in a talent bind where they're not going to be the guy, you'll have young kids that'll be like, okay, well, it's not my year, and I'm just going to kind of go through the motions and that. Our guys are fighting to, like, what can I do? Can I play more scout team? Can I do something to get our guys more ready than, you know, the guys that we got out there? And, you know, these guys have all been like that on the way up. And that's why some of those guys that maybe weren't in starting roles the last couple of years, Cam Goodner and Ethan Martins are two like undersized offensive guards that also started linebacker for us. Yeah. And they've been huge for us. Those guys could have easily said, yeah, maybe I didn't even want to do this at all. They stuck with it. They worked their tail off, and now they're big contributors for us. You know what I mean? They do it on both sides of the ball. They do, you know, it's thankless work, but they are tough as nails. We get two guys that are returning multiple time state champion wrestlers.
Yeah.
At 113 and 120 pounds. And you know what? It's like in a lot of places, they could be as good as they are. I'm talking about Jack Lightfoot, who's our leading tackler. And it was the 113 pound state champ last year. And Nikki DeSisto, who's a three-time state champion at like 113, and last year at 119, 120 pounds. You know, like the guys like that in other spots, even in our league, are not even going to get a chance to go out there and do it at the varsity level in football. Yeah. But we know that they're our best players in that position that they play. They give us the best chance to win.
Yeah.
And I know their dads, so that they're not going to like take me to court for child abuse if I ask them to go cover a 6'4" tight end, you know what I mean? Like,
That's an unfair matchup, coach. You should take them, you know. Yeah. Never know these days of what you might get feedback.
But those guys know what Tewksbury's all about. And, you know, when I feel like there could be a little bit of that thought process in some of the heads, I say, guys, look, at we've been doing that for years. You know, you're not the smallest kid we've ever asked to do the job that we're asking you to do. You're the best kid. They give us a chance to win, and those guys are, they're not afraid of anybody. So it's really, been such a great group. Sean Callahan is we bump up two weight classes to like 132. He's a starting cornerback and has covered every one of the best receivers in the league.
Yeah.
And everybody wants to take deep shots at him. They take deep shots and they waste plays because he's in position. He gets on top. He's just a scrappy player. And he's done a tremendous job for us.
Yeah.
And I get another sophomore that played, you know, the sophomore kids, that's that senior group that's had all this experience. Mm. But the battery of the two guys that touch the ball more than anybody in our program are our center and our quarterback. And both of those kids are sophomores.
Wow.
And, you know, like Rylan Suzor has done a tremendous job for us there. And Will Harrison, you know, throws his performance up against anybody. I wouldn't trade him for anybody. He's, you know, I talked about the turnovers. That was week three against Lowell, maybe. He had an interception that he threw against Methuen in week two. He had two that he threw in Lowell early. One down at the 10-yard line. You know, so since then he's had none. He has 18 touchdown passes and three interceptions. And he's run for 400 yards, and he's run for 7 touchdowns, and he's got poise beyond his years. He's just a tremendous, tremendous kid, and you know, that was obviously a big question mark. We had a bunch of guys coming back. We're gonna give the keys to a sophomore kid, and he's taking it on. He's a tremendous leader. He's a great kid. He's the best.
Yeah. Hmm. Well said. A lot of weapons, a lot of hard workers, consistency, dedication. And I know I might not get you to talk about this one, but the other side of the bracket, I know Canton's the focus, but you got Scituate and Duxbury who have battled it out in the final game the last couple of years, I believe with Scituate being the reigning defending champs. It just goes to show you the consistency of Division IV. You guys are always in the mix. Three semifinals in a row now. Scituate and Duxbury have been there. Duxbury's won two out of the last three. This is a lot of consistency going on in this bracket. And what's also cool is that 1 through 4 is the final four of the ranking. So another little notch in the rankings belt there for having a good formula, I guess.
Yeah, you know, I'm not gonna. You know, we've been on the wrong side of at least the semifinals. I think the last couple of years when. You know, when it all pans out, and yeah, that's two games away. Not that's, you know, we get to worry about Wilmington too, and that's true, very true. That's an important part of it. So, you know, we'll cross that bridge hopefully if we get to it, and you know, both of those teams are great teams. They get good personnel. They're well coached. A lot of tradition, and but you know, that's the way you would want it if you do get a chance. And you know, our guys are focused completely on Canton right now, and yeah, I mean, we'll see, we'll cross that bridge when we get to it, I guess. So
yeah. Cool. Mm-hmm. Coach, taking a lot of time with us, taking you away from what the focus is. I want you to get back to it. I'm sure you're going to get on game film and such. But thank you, Coach Hayward, again, for coming on the Merrimack Valley Sports Desk. Best of luck against Canton. Go get them.
All right. I appreciate it, Coach. You do a tremendous job. And, you know, this is a great program that you're on. And, you know, you get a chance to recognize a lot of kids doing hard work. And
yeah,
I really appreciate it.
Great, great, great stuff. And, you know, let's have a little celebration at Gillette and get some of the kids on. I know I'm skipping way ahead, but yeah. Get it done. We'll get them some airtime too. Okay. Good luck, Coach.
All right. I appreciate it.
All right. Have a good one.
Did you know that Anderson is the most trusted name in windows in the United States? See for yourself at Moynihan Lumber. You can take a look at a variety of Anderson windows on display at our three locations in North Reading, Beverly, or Plaistow, New Hampshire. Moynihan Lumber.
Looking for the best place on the North Shore to gather with friends after work, on the weekend, or catch a game? Eat, drink, and chill at the Sylvan Street Grill in Peabody and Salisbury. Enjoy daily specials, mouth-watering appetizers, and delicious entrees. There is something for everyone at the Sylvan Street Grill. Come check out the newly expanded bar in Peabody with 42 beers on tap and 20 TVs for all the games.
Hello, this is Brian Cranny from Cranny Self Storage. If you find yourself in the middle of a move, downsizing, decluttering, getting your garage space back, Cranny Self Storage is here to help. We have climate-controlled and secure storage units of all sizes to fit your budget. Whether it's temporary or permanent, Cranny Self Storage can help you with all your storage needs. We also have moving supplies and boxes. Cranny Self Storage is conveniently located in Danvers, right off of 128 on Water Street, next to Sam and Joe's. Let us help you keep your belongings safe and secure. Call Cranny Self Storage today at 978-777-9193.
The Sports Desk. What's going on, everybody? I am recording this final segment of the show here on the Sports Desk. This segment fills both of our shows, North Shore and Merrimack Valley, because we have Super Bowl entrants from each side of the ball. That's right. So football concluded its run to the Super Bowls this weekend. Friday, November 21st and Saturday, November 22nd. And the matchups are set. We're going to focus on our region, Merrimack Valley and North Shore. Here we go. This is how it broke down. All right. Let's start in Division 7, where we got Amesbury going to the dance, the big show for the first time, second time in 3 years. Amesbury, the Redhawks, beating Clinton 20-14. They're 11-0 right now. And they will draw in that Super Bowl the one and only number one seed, Cohasset. Cohasset beat Northbridge 35-15, and they'll be going back to the Division 7 Super Bowl for the first time since 2021 when they last captured the state title. So they're wanting to get back and did so. Amesbury wanted to get back and did so. What a matchup we have, North versus South there. When you talk about the old regions that used to be divided, used to divide the state. But, they have to get by Amesbury to, you know, keep that undefeated season going. I mean, Newburyport, Amesbury does. Jason Dubey, D-U-B-E, 10 seconds to go. Kyle Gaudette at KGAUD123, sports editor of the Newburyport News, tells us the senior QB leapt over the line for the TT, little sneak, and Amesbury led it 20-14 in the final seconds, and that's how it stayed. On to Division One, the big matchup everyone wants to see, a rematch of a couple of years ago where Xaverian beat the Prep, and the Prep gets its chance. Undefeated St. John's Prep will be meeting Xaverian because the Prep beat our own Central Catholic out of Lawrence. Yeah, Central making the semifinals after a great run. Great run by Coach John Sexton and his team. Just ran into an incredible buzzsaw in the Eagles. I mean, you got to applaud Central, you know, for the season they had. They beat Xaverian this year. That, you know, they more than proved their worth. 7 wins in Division One, And what a season for Central. They'll probably finish up with their 8th win of the season on Thanksgiving, likely, right? Coach Sexton, another great year, solid, proved they can hang with the big boys until today, because a lot of people haven't been able to hang with St. John's Prep team. They are a juggernaut. They haven't won the Super Bowl in a couple of years. They want to get back very badly. Last time they won now would be 2022. They are facing the 2023 and 2024 champions of Xaverian, which brings up a very interesting scenario. Once again, when these two teams meet in the Super Bowl, that means it'll be about 9 days after they play in the Thanksgiving game. And I remember having Coach Brian St. Pierre of St. John's Prep on the show. And he was telling me that, of course, we're going to go all out for Thanksgiving. Like, there's no holding back. They want to beat Severian both times. They want to beat him in Thanksgiving, and they want to beat him in the Super Bowl. No question about it. It's not even like they had play favorites. They literally treat each of those games very equally. They go out, they prepare, and that's the way to do it. I mean, you hold back a little bit. What's going to happen? You know, sometimes when you hold back, that's when you get hurt. So just, you know, run the engine as it runs. That's Brian St. Pierre's MO, and I'm sure Zavarian and the Hawks over there are going to do the same thing. Hawks versus Eagles. What a battle that's going to be on Thanksgiving Day, and then in the Super Bowl. So it's like, hello, happy Thanksgiving. We'll see you at Gillette in 9 days. Great stuff. The Prep absolutely smokes Central, though. At Phil Stacey _SN, Phil Stacey, sports editor of the Salem News. I'm going to give a quick aside because Phil mentioned a pretty cool tweet too, outside of the Prep and Central. Jacoby Casanelli Tarasuic, he went over 1,000 yards rushing and receiving for the season. He's now run for 1,070 yards and passed for 1,041. What a season that is. Over 1,000 in both departments. Wow. Great job, Jacoby. And I wonder if that Tarasuic is of the Marblehead fame, Jason Tarasuic, and that family. All right, so Phil also points out the Prep now 22-3, dating back to 2018. The game's .880 winning percentage. So, yeah, they are facing Zavarian. Will Wood had 4 touchdown passes in the game for Zavarian, so watch out for Will. He's going to be hot. 36-22 over Springfield Central. They won. Yeah, that Prep game was 48-0 at halftime, so it was basically a one-half game. Running time in the second half, the Eagles put up 453 yards of total offense in that first half. This is all Phil Stacey, by the way. 5 of the 10 first downs resulted in touchdowns. They scored twice on the first play of a drive. 6 possessions, 6 touchdowns. Riley Selvius, wide open, 55-yard touchdown pass. Maxwell Parent, another conversion run. And now let me quote this exactly from Phil. This is my 36th year covering high school football on the North Shore, and I'm not sure I've ever seen such a dominant first half performance in a game of this magnitude. Semi-final, and the Prep just put on a show. It's not even about Central not having an answer and they did something wrong. It's like one of those things where it's just like they got, you know, they were just in the way and the Prep just mowed them down. No offense to Central Catholic, because those boys brought it this year, you know, beating Zavarian, having a great Merrimack Valley schedule and season, you know, only lost to Methuen. They beat Andover. They beat Haverhill, you know, they beat BC High. So that's 2 losses to St. John's Prep this year. 47-21 Central lost earlier. So they gave him a little bit more of a game back then. But credit again to John Sexton for a great season here, the Merrimack Valley. Let's move on. Keeping it in the Valley for the final two. Tewksbury, undefeated. We had here coach Brian Aylward on the show today. On the Merrimack Valley show, that is, if you're listening to the North Shore Sports Desk. Check that interview out. He kind of talked about Canton. I did load it up on YouTube before the game, so it made sense. So he talks about Canton as if they're playing them. Obviously, they already beat them. So great job, Tewksbury, winning that. I believe the final was 35-6, and they were up 28-0 at halftime. So another one that was over after the first two quarters. Sullivan for them, for Tewksbury, and I know Coach Aylward talked about him a lot, Johnny Sullivan. He had 3 interceptions in the game. 3, count them. Will Harrison, 2nd TD pass of the game at one point. I'm citing at Graham _Dietz, D-I-E-T-S. Believe he's Boston Globe, but just incredible. Jackson Fuedo's PATs. They were up 35-0 early in the third, and it was just over. At Cook Journalism, COOKE Journalism had a tweet about them being up at the half. And it was Sullivan's second interception at the time set the table for a long drive, ended with a 10-yard connection to Ben Christopher on fourth down. So that made it 28-0 and just sealed it at the half. Let's go over to Shosh. Oh, by the way, Tewksbury's facing Scituate, right? Scituate is going to be the opponent of the Redmen of the Merrimack Valley in that battle in Division Four. We know it's going to be a battle. Scituate's always been there. They beat Tewksbury, and Tewksbury, you know, just has been around. Third straight semifinal, getting into the finals now at Gillette, taking on Scituate, who beat Tewksbury 34-21. And finally, the last team in our area, Merrimack Valley, to get in was Shawshin. This team hasn't lost a game since the semifinal of, like, 2023, okay? Undefeated, defending reigning champs. They beat North Reading 22-14 in OT. Jake Banda was the hero, 266 rushing yards. I'm quoting at Maddie underscore Wasserman, W-A-S-S-E-R-M-A-N. Three touchdowns and the game-sealing interception. Shawshin is playing Foxborough after a 2014 win over North Reading. Like we said, Foxborough gets in. They win their portion of the semifinal. Foxborough is the team that beat Gloucester, remember? And they are going to give them a game because Foxborough can play. They won the state title a couple of years ago. They beat Archbishop Williams today. They beat Gloucester before that. And then they opened up with a win over Norton. So Foxborough-Shawshin is significant. You know, these teams met in the semifinal 2 years ago when Foxborough was en route to a 2023 state title. And a fun little fact, the Foxborough win over Gloucester in the second round was revenge from the 2025 Super Bowl, which Gloucester won, despite being down 19-2. All right, so there you go. Tewksbury, Shawshin, Amesbury, St. John's Prep, four in the dance. We have a chance to grab half, right? Half of the state titles coming in this little region here, North Shore, Merrimack Valley, the northeast corner or so-ish of the Bay State. So, hey, thanks for tuning in to the Sports Desk here. If you're listening on Merrimack Valley, thank you. If you're listening on the North Shore Sports Desk, thank you very much. And thanks for waiting this out. We usually publish Thursdays, but we know this is big games on Friday, Saturday. So here we are, rolling this out now. Thanks, everybody, for tuning in.